Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wow. Back in the Kia Studios. Brown Liquor Music Hour. Chuck Rose gets the first request. A little Ohio Players, baby. Gotta get my boys a little skin tight and get things going. 404-741-0929. Yeah. What do you think, Jarvis? Uh-huh. 404-741-0929. Songbird's Diamond text line, phone line. Be aboard. Give us your request if you want. You got a request? We'll take it. We'll see what we got. 929thegame.com. That's our new and improved website. Check us out live. Replays of all the shows. It's all up there. We stream online there, too. Download your radio.com app. Get that on one of your devices. Phone, tablet, boombox. Got a turntable. I mean, put it on there, man. That way you can listen to some Ohio Players and you can listen to the radio show at the same time. I love that part right there, man. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. Some good musicianship by these guys, too, man. Underrated band, man. Underrated stuff, man. Underrated stuff. Social media, all of it's at 929thegame. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Be a part of it there. The best way to follow us through our Twitter handles. I'm at JMCH316. At JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. At JarvisD90. Let's get to our NFL squib kick. So, you know the story by now with Antonio Brown. This is just now first off, let's do say that he took part in his first practice with the New England Patriots earlier today. His former trainers filed a civil lawsuit in the Southern District of Florida accusing him of sexually assaulting her on three different occasions. Brittany Taylor is her name. She accuses the new Patriot of being sexually assaulted on three separate occasions in 2017 and in 2018. Once in the Pittsburgh area in 2017, twice in the Miami area in 2018. Taylor's going to meet with the NFL next week. She's getting married and can't meet before then, according to Adam Schefter. Ed Griffith, the public information officer for Miami-Dade, said in a statement that having reviewed our records, we found no prior police investigation context regarding these allegations or these individuals. We'll be reaching out to the pertinent police agencies to determine if they had any prior contacts or investigations. If such police investigations exist, we would certainly be interested in those reports and any related evidence gathered. You can go, what is there, Jarvis? There's texts and stuff like that they exchanged or whatever like that. Yeah, I don't even want to get into all that that kind of stuff out of it. You know, in these cases, I always say, first and foremost, got to let the legal process play out. We learned about Reuben Foster, man. I mean, that was a slam dunk. He's guilty, and he shouldn't be in the league. Then it turns out it was a totally different story. I mean, I'm not telling you that she's right, she's wrong. I don't know. You got to let the legal process play out, though. And by the way, there were some people online already that jumped to conclusions on Twitter earlier today and had to start deleting stuff about, you know, why didn't she file this or why didn't she, again, you know, when you talk about sexual assault, you can't be the one to speak about why or why not somebody did something out there. Let the legal process play itself out, see where that takes it, you know, from there. If he's guilty, they'll find the evidence and he'll get found guilty. Now, by the way, he wore number one today as in his practice situation. Bill Belichick was asked about it, referred to the Patriots statement on Tuesday, so they take the allegations serious, but, you know, again, let the legal process play itself out. Drew Rosenhaus, of course, was all over ESPN. I don't know, he was doing damage control, but I don't think he was doing a very good job of it. I saw some of the quotes that he was talking about it. He said they were anticipating the possibility that this lawsuit would be filed. Lot going on here. Lot going on out here. So, and like I said, he was wearing number one at practice today. So, something tells me that he will not be saying a whole lot to the media, Antonio Brown. And I can tell you, listen, the difference is, say what you will about, you know, what the Steelers do or what this franchise does or what that franchise does, okay? Say what you will about all that kind of stuff. When it comes to the Patriots, you know, they usually are pretty heavy-handed. Now, look, they're not clean by any means. Don't think that the Patriots are like a bunch of saints or anything. And I'm not talking about because people say they cheated or this, that, and the other. That Aaron Hernandez and guys like that that were on that team. So I'm just saying, you know, take all that for what you will. But, you know, again, I say you got to let the legal process play itself out before you get into making all the accusations about they're guilty, they're not guilty, throw them out of the league, this, that, and the other. Again, we've seen situations. Reuben Foster's situation is the first one that that comes to mind, is that, you know, honestly, when you look back at that, everybody had him guilty. Everybody said, you know, hey, you know, you got to kick him out of the league. He should never play again, this, that, and the other. You know, I mean, just have to be careful with all this stuff on both sides. Make sure that you do due diligence and get all sides of the story out of all of it. Bad news again for Hunter Henry. Another injury. This time he suffered a tibial plateau fracture to his left knee during the Colts game this past Sunday. He's going to miss at least 4 to 6 weeks, according to reports told to Adam Schefter. No official timetable been given on his return, and the team will continue to evaluate the injury. Coach Anthony Lynn said, quote, "He's taking it tough, but he's doing fine. He wants to be here with his teammates. Wants to play, not being out with the team. He feels like he's letting him down, but he's not. You can't control these things. You can only control what you can control." So this is the one franchise that, right, Randy McMichael cannot be the greatest of all time as tight end at, right? Because as long as they have Kellen Winslow, he's always going to be better than Randy, right? So we can at least give Randy number two on this, right? Maybe Randy's trying to sabotage his career so he doesn't move out of the number two spot. Is there a, well, I guess Antonio Gates would be number two, right? So you got Winslow, Gates, one and two at tight end, and what, Randy three? Is Randy third on that list? I don't know. We'll see. Phillip Rivers said it's obviously disappointing. You hate it for him. You saw how excited he was out here to be and get back to work. By the way, Henry leads the charge with 12 touchdown receptions at the start of the 2016 season. That's the most, as I said, for the team. So, also, it says Antonio Gates does remain available and has not ruled out a potential return to the field. They signed him right before the season began last season due to Henry's ACL injury. I don't know what Antonio Gates has got left in the tank, but I'm sure he's probably rather excited about the idea of maybe he gets to play now. And this story, this was kind of interesting. The NFL says, this from ProFootballTalk.com. The NFL specifically wants to eliminate the backside lobster block by offensive players. Did you throw a few of those, Jarvis, in your day, the lobster block on some offensive players? Yeah. It says the new focal point undoubtedly contributed to a spike in offensive holding fouls. So this is what, that blindside block, right? Am I correct in that? That that's, for layman's terms, it's the blindside block that they've been really trying to focus on and wanted to eliminate. According to the league, in the initial 16 games of the 2019 season, there were 83 offensive holding calls. 83 offensive holding calls, or about 5.18 per game. That's an increase from 64 in week one last year, which is about 4 per game. So you're talking about, what, a 25%, more than a 25% increase. That's a pretty significant number of differences, 25% greater number. It said that the league did not have a specific number of backside holds, but it's clear the NFL wants to get that technique out of the game. Vikings coach Mike Zimmer, with reporters today, said, "I'm on one of the committees that sends things to the competition committee, and there's a big emphasis on the backside of runs. There are some teams that are just really bad, and they just go out there and they try to grab the linebacker and do this, or they grab the defensive end and do this. They wanted to get that out of the game, so they make a point of emphasis on it." Actually, Tom Coughlin is on that same committee, and he put together the tape on that. It was so long you couldn't watch it all, just really, really bad, and so that's what they're trying to get out of the games. He said this is one of the rare situations where the rules emphasis actually helps the defense. I hope it gets corrected. That's what I hope. I hope teams stop doing it, but if they don't, they should throw the flag. It's cheating. So, yeah, I guess. I don't, Jarvis, maybe you can, you know, better than I would about, you know, that particular block and stuff like that. I don't know if it's a safety thing. I mean, again, every time one of these coaches talks about cheating or this, that, or the other, you know, I'm always curious as to what that means and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's again, I don't know what the penalty specifically relates to, but that is a pretty massive increase. And one thing we know about the NFL, when the NFL gets going on their rule changes and they have something they want to emphasize, you know they're going to go over the top, right? Now, I don't know. I did not see any stats in preseason about how big of a rule this was or was not, if it was really focused on really hard. But I can tell you that if the NFL says, hey, we got to make this a priority to call, you're going to see an extreme amount of emphasis being put on it. I know it doesn't sound like much as like, you know, only 1.18 more per game. But when you're talking about 25% more of those calls, you know, year over year, that's not by accident. You don't have a 25% increase in anything NFL related unless that's exactly what they're trying to do when they want to put an emphasis on it. We'll see what this looks like for week two. Usually these things, you get them about a few weeks, right, and then they start to calm down from there. So give it 2 or 3 weeks to get into the season. Let everybody adjust and figure things out, and then you can get into, okay, you know, because pass interference, all that kind of, by the way, I didn't see the stats for that. Because the one that the other emphasis this year was pass interference and all that kind of stuff. You know, Trufant was talking about that all in the offseason. I don't know. We'll have to see what goes down with all that. But again, when the NFL tells you that they want to watch something, yeah, they're going to watch it. And you just saw a 25% increase in everything that was called for offense holding. And again, it's bad enough to slow down the game as it is, but when you're adding almost another penalty and a half per game out there, that's not going to speed things up. I get that it's a point of emphasis, but you know, again, it ain't going to speed the game up for a while. So I don't know how much it has effect. And not to mention the fact too is that you know these guys are going to struggle with this out of the gate because with all due respect, they don't play in the preseason, right? So no starter has had a chance to adjust to this rule. If they called a bunch of this in the preseason, it's the backups and guys that aren't in the league anymore. If you had a bunch of guys that aren't in the league anymore running through this rule, that might be one thing and they might have a better grasp on it. But you've got all these guys that haven't played, so you know at this point that it's going to take a while to try to get these guys adjusted and to try to figure out what they're going to have to do to not be a part of all this rule and stuff like that. So don't lobster block is the message. That's our NFL Squid Kid. Hey, join 92.9 The Game this coming Sunday starting at 4 o'clock. It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. It's brought to you by Wade Ford, brought to you by Jim Beam, Hugh Douglas, and Andy Bunker. Man, those guys getting all kinds of promos and reads tonight out of it, aren't they? Hugh Douglas and Andy Bunker broadcasting live off of Northside Drive across the street from the Gold Deck. So go out there. We'll be broadcasting Randy McMichael and I on Sunday. We're going to be hitting from the Home Depot backyard from 2 to 4. So we'll be out there for all of that. Welcome to Station W. All right, when we get back, is this a must-win for the Falcons on Sunday? I know it's only game two, but I can give you some stats and tell you what 0-2 can mean. It's all next. Chuck Green, the Key Studio, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Uncut Funk, the bomb.
Coming to you directly from the mothership. Top of the...
As requested, Sports Radio 910 The Game, back in the Key Studios. I picked this one because this is actually the song, Jarvis, that was number one in the country on my birthday. In December 4th of 71, Family Affair. There's some kind of thing about the song that was number one on your birthday has like some kind of meaning in your life or something like that. I don't know. There's some tie-in about it. I don't know why. I don't like family anyway. I mean, I don't know why. Family Affair is number one. I like family. Heck of them. Hey, Rocket Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation, Stars and Strikes, Sandy Springs. Coming up on Wednesday, September 25th from 4 to 7 p.m., Brian Jordan, Marquise Grissom, Muhammad Nasqual, Ronnie Brown, Jason Campbell, many more, like as in probably all the staff from here at 92.9 The Game will be a part of all of that, so be sure to join in on the fun with all of that. At JMCH316, at JarvisD90, follow us both on Twitter if you would, please, and interact with the show. 404-741-0929 is the Some of them too. Oh, did you? You're at 4,000 now. All right. There you go. Jarvis up over 4,000 Twitter followers now. So we thank you for all of that. So I'm just kind of floating around. So we're trying to get there. Let's see if we can both get to 5,000 coming up next. I got a long, long way to go. I'm only at, what am I at here? What does this say? 4,219 Jarvis is all I'm at. So we're a long ways off, but hey, listen, we can think big. So give us a follow on Twitter and help us grow the brand of the show. By the way, this is our highest rated hour. You know that, right? Like this, we just blow it out in the 10 o'clock hour. So coming up Sunday, Falcons, all your action right here. Pregame at 6:20, kickoff at 8:20, Sunday night football. There's a stat that I was reading here that this did not include last year's teams, but since the league expanded its playoff field to 12 teams in 1990, just 28 out of 223 teams, 13% during that time, have recovered from an 0-2 start to make the playoffs. Since 2002, when the league expanded and reorganized into 8 divisions, the rate of teams making the playoffs after an 0-2 start is even lower, 14 out of 133 teams, 11%. And it says, and overall, teams starting 0-2 average, ready for this, Jarvis? Teams starting 0-2 average less than 6 wins over the course of the season 61% of the time. How about that? Whew, that's a lot. So almost 2 out of 3 teams that start 0-2 win less than 6 games. Now, I'm going to say is, if this team is 6-10 and Matt Ryan plays 16 games, going to be some changes in this organization. I can wholeheartedly tell you, there are going to be some changes in this organization. I see we just picked up another Twitter follower, Jarvis, for all of that. So thank you to Wayne out there for jumping on board. 4,222, Jarvis. 4,222. So there you go. Wasn't that a TV show like 222 or whatever it was? Oh, 227. Okay. All right. So we're close. We're at 4,222. So anyway, so it's not good. And you know, you hate to say that week two is must win and all that kind of stuff, but you know, the reality is that when you assess this situation, more than just the 0-2 start, you know, we go back to some of the things we've said before over the years about this would be 2 losses and 2 conference losses. So if you're talking about 0-2, okay, and you're not necessarily competing for the division, I'm not saying you can't win the division at that point, but let's say the division title gets out of reach. Well, now if you're talking about trying to win wild card spot and all that kind of stuff, now you get into all the tiebreakers. And you've got 2 conference losses to start off with. That's one of the tiebreakers that hits you early on that just is can be tough to recover from. So it's not just 0-2. It's 2 losses in conference. Obviously, one of those games at home. So many bad things out there. Now, look, when a team plays that poorly in a week that the Falcons did, I think you fully expect that team to bounce back. I unless you're just not talented. And that's not the Falcons' problem. Again, the Eagles are not going to come in here and out-personnel the Falcons. They're just not going to out-personnel all the Falcons. Like, the rosters are not that dissimilar from one another. You know, the Eagles are not so overly talented above the Falcons that the Falcons have no shot. You know, you can make that case for Miami or something like that, but this is not Arkansas Central, you know, versus Alabama. It's not how this matchup is. Got to protect your home field and got to find a way to win. Got to find a way to win this game coming up on Sunday. All hands on deck doing what you got to do. It's not going to be easy. It's a very good team in Philadelphia. Maybe one of 2 or 3 best defensive lines in all of the NFL. Obviously a very productive quarterback who a couple of years ago before his injury was probably the MVP of the league. The way he was rolling, probably would have been a 40 touchdown guy. The way that he was rolling along out there. So it's not going to be easy, but I think you know one is this team's got to get out to a fast start. You know that just killed this team last week with the start that they had. It was over in a heartbeat. It was over in a heartbeat, and not much you could do about all of that. So the nice thing is that, and now Hunter follows us, Jarvis. So there you go. We picked up 2 instant Twitter followers. So 223. So we're getting close to that. That was what was her name? The girl from the Jeffersons. The woman who played the maid in the Jeffersons. What was her name? That was in 227. Jack A, and I forget what the other woman's name was. Anyway, sorry, we get sidetracked in the 10 o'clock hour. You know, it's time to start drinking. So that's why we get this brown liquor music hour, and we try to drink as heavily as we can. I mean, we do a radio show for everybody here during the 10 o'clock hour. Anyway, look, a fast start at home, crowd on your side. I think it's going to be a really good crowd. I think they're going to be loud. I'm glad this game is actually kind of at night than it is at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, especially given what happened last week. I think there probably would have been some apathy with 1 o'clock. But I think with Sunday Night Football, the highest rated TV show going, I think there's a lot that's going to get folks excited about, you know, good team coming in, support the home team. So, yeah, I think it is as close to a must win. Now, Jason Butt said maybe 50-55%, but it's not easy. And nothing comes easy for this team. I mean, that's the reality, is that nothing comes easy for this franchise. Even with all the talent that they had, nothing either ever seems to come easy for this team. So getting out to a fast start, finding a way, you know, to get a win, and just being better in all three phases. Let's start by being better in all three phases. I mean, and it's not just because we talked about, look, it's the way that the Falcons came out. When you get a punt block, that's really bad. When you got a guy that runs free for a sack because no one blocked him, that's bad. When your number two corner just basically has a guy run right by him, that's bad. And now Ishmael follows us, Jarvis. That's three people in like a couple minutes. So we're at 224. There you go. Did you find out the name? Who's our woman for 227? Marla Gibbs. Yes, Marla Gibbs, the great Marla Gibbs. Yeah, she was the maid in the Jeffersons. So 224. See if we get to 227 before the end of the show. So, yes, my buddy J-Dub, Marta Gibbs, 227. And Jack K, right? Jack K was in that as well. Jarvis. Jarvis gave me the, oh, yeah, he liked Jack K back in the day. Doesn't she – I could have sworn she lives in Atlanta. Am I wrong about that? I think she lives in Atlanta. Can anybody confirm that on the text line? Yeah, her name was Flo in that show, right? In 227. Marla Gibbs was Flo in that show. Yes. So, the great thing is you can ask a question on here with the text line and Twitter and everything like that. You can get the answers that you need right away. But I think Jack Kay lives in Atlanta, or she did live in Atlanta. But Jarvis gave me the old kind of, oh yes, okay, I ain't mad at you, Jarvis. She had that. Now, would she be considered duck butter thick? Is she duck butter? Was she duck butter thick? Yeah, she's officially duck butter thick. Okay. All right. She's got that duck butter thick. Because the one I like that I don't, you know, I like that Sheba on 11 Alive in the morning. But you said she's just kind of borderline duck butter thick. She's kind of borderline. She's not quite there, but she teeters on it. Duckling, yes. Yeah, she's quite foul. But Jack A was definitely duck butter thick. Oh, Regina King was in 227 as well. I did not know. You know what? As a matter of fact, now that you bring that up, very good text right there. Now that you bring that up, I do remember her. Boy, that's a young Regina King, by the way, too. Yeah, how about that? She's a great actress, by the way. Yeah. Yeah, she's that. Yeah, you know what? You're right, Jarvis. She's getting better looking as she gets older. Let me tell you, she's an immensely talented actress. She was tremendous in Ray, by the way. I loved her in Ray. I'm a huge fan of that movie, but loved her in Ray. Oh, look at that. We got Wook Jones, who's a big Falcons fan. Thank you, Wook. Wook Jones officially following us. So, Jarvis, let's see. Is that getting us a 225? No, Jarvis, we're at 227. Holy cow, we must have more people. Tyler Blanchard. Just followed us. So okay. So we're at officially at 227. So thank you very much for all of that. Is it Purgy or Purgy? P-U-R-G-Y. He tweeted Purgy. Okay. He followed us. Ishmael, we said. So thank you. So we officially, Jarvis, we called out, we asked for it. We officially got to 227. So we got Regina, Marla, and Jack A. We got officially there. We hit the trifecta right there. Oh no, it says Marla Gibbs' name was Mary in that. Was Flo her name in the Jeffersons? What was her name in the Jeffersons? Was it Florence? Was that her name in the Jeffersons as the maid? By the way, that's a tremendous show, by the way, too. I don't care what anybody says. Well, one of the great theme songs of all time. That's a Thank you, Big Dog Merc. I love it. We're piling them up now, Jarvis. Jarvis, we make it to 5,000 before the end of the show. What's the next TV? We're 228. What's the next TV show? Was there like a 334 or anything like that? How about 404? We'll get to the area code. Yeah, 90210. How about that? Get us to that. All right. I'm going to give you a rundown of who I think, by the way, of my Braves playoff roster. Who should, maybe who should not be part of the Braves playoff roster. And one of the guys I have that's not making it actually kind of was the reason that the Braves are leading tonight. Yeah, I know. You guys will yell at me. We'll get there. And he says, oh, J-Pat. Thank you, J-Pat. There you go. We're rolling them up now, Jarvis. We're getting there. Chucker in the Key Studios. It's the highest rated hour in Atlanta radio, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back in the Key Studios with you. Chuck Reed in the house, 404-741-0929. Some Bros Diamond text line. Interact with us there. We're getting lots of good information, Jarvis, on the text line. I don't know if you have it up in front of you. By the way, follow us on Twitter. We are up, Jarvis, up to 4230. Thank you, Scott Tuck. And thank you, Damian Jason White. So... We need to find the next benchmark number. Here's the weird thing. Now I'm at 4231. Like they just keep rolling on in, Jarvis. So 4231. I was looking here just on the text line real quick. Says Jack A lives in one texter said Jack A still lives in Harlem, New York, and then another texter says that Jack A lives in L.A. And Marla Gibbs' character on 227 was Mary Jenkins. I remember the show. I don't remember what her name was on there. Yeah, Florence was her name in the Jeffersons. Yes. Yes. Mary Jenkins in 227. And Jarvis had his thing for Jack A. But, you know, this is why you have to be careful, Jarvis, because one says she lives in Harlem, one says she lives in L.A. I could have sworn, though, that she lived in Atlanta at one point, that she was here, but... I may be wrong on all of that, as I normally am. And don't worry, if I'm wrong, they remind me. It's okay. But thank you to everybody jumping on board and being part of the show. Text line, phone line, follower line, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, all that good stuff. So there you go. Braves win tonight. 3-1 over the Phillies. So at worst, will be a split in this four-game set. And now, you know, going for another series win. It's what we keep talking about, guys. When these teams that you tell me are red hot and they get up against Atlanta, these teams just aren't doing anything against Atlanta. Just not doing anything. I was trying to see, by the way, too, see if I can get any scores of the other games for you real quick here, too. Nats are leading the Twins 5-2, but still the magic number drops because the Braves won, so that goes down to 8, right? So 8's the magic number now. So if the Nationals win, they'll stay at 8. If they lose, it'll go down to 7. But 8 is the number. Nationals lead the Twins 5-2. I'm trying to see who had the start tonight in that game. Strasburg had the start. So as of right now, he'd pick up the win. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 strikeouts. Oh, hey, Jarvis, he threw 104 pitches in a game. Yeah, he threw 104 pitches. And his arm didn't fall off, according to all reports. Yeah, his arm didn't fall off, so... Dodgers lost tonight to the Orioles, Jarvis. How about that? Orioles beat the Dodgers tonight 7-3. How about that? Three-run homer in the seventh inning for the Orioles, moves and pass. I'm telling you guys, and Jansen's not been as good, but he's still a hammer. Okay, he's still really good on the back end. The middle of their bullpen's junk too, I hate to tell you. Like, you get past, now again, it ain't easy to get past those three guys. I'm with you. Yeah. When you got Ryu and Buehler's over 200 strikeouts and, you know, Kershaw's doing his thing. I get it. It ain't easy getting past those guys. But at the same time, if you can and you can get in their bullpen, they're vulnerable there. And Muncy's been hurt too, right? Isn't he out? He's been kind of hurt, banged up, I think, as well for them. So, oh, and another Twitter follower, Jarvis. D just followed. The letter D just followed. Thank you for that, D. We're loading them up. What are we up to now? 4232. We got Jarvis, we gotta come up with some, the next number between tonight, tomorrow, and Friday. The next number we gotta hit. What about fo 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 fo? What about that? Fo 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 fo. Yeah. Fo 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 fo. 44-44. How about that? That's our new target goal to get. Is that pretty rich? Is that kind of extreme, Jarvis? But we picked up a whole bunch of people like in just a few minutes, and at 10 o'clock even. So all right, I'm going to give you what my Braves playoff roster for the first series would look at. There's a show called 4400. Okay, so there's our new target. Who was in that show? 4400, who was in that show? Jacqueline McKenzie, who else? Patrick John what something? Patrick John Pfluger, what? Okay. When was that show on, Jarvis? From 2004 to 2007, 4400. Okay. All right, there's our new target, folks, 4,400. That's our new show we're trying to get to. I don't know any of those actors, by the way, you just named. I don't remember that show. My buddy Christian just texted me, too. By the way, you need a good little spot in downtown Alpharetta. I know there's a million spots to go. Go see my buddy Christian up at Maid, okay? Go get some food. It's got great food, homemade cocktails, cool spot. Jarvis, got to get you and the wife up there yet. We got to get you guys up there. Downtown Alpharetta. It's not on the main drag on Highway 9. It's right behind. It's on the same road as where Pure is and Pure Taqueria and all that is. So, but go check out my buddy Christian at Maine. He texted me about there was some. Yeah, I hear you. But actually, that place is not too bad, Jarvis. Believe it or not, that and I got a hookup there. I got a lot of hookups at that place, so it's not too bad there. We can take care of that. It's everywhere else. Yeah, it's Avalon and everywhere else that I'm screwed. So, but. He texted me some show 222. I don't remember that show 222. Do you remember? Do you remember that show? I don't remember 222. I told him that sounded like it was the porn version of 227 or something like that. That was the adult version of all that. So I don't know. I don't know. You know, again, when it involves my buddy Christian, anything is possible out there. So let me run down my Braves playoff roster for you here. And this would be my roster. McCann and Cervelli. I said Cervelli. I know Flowers hit the game-winning home run. He hit the three-run homer to win it tonight. I just don't trust Tyler Flowers to catch. See, the problem is that when you miss balls like that, pass balls in the playoffs, that ends up with a run on the board. You know what I mean? Like that's just not like against the Marlins where it's no big deal and it just kind of happens. In the playoffs, that's how you lose games and you give up a winning run. I can't have a guy who can't catch the football right now. Oh, Juice Man. Thank you, Juice Man, who just jumped on board. So we're getting there. So our new goal is 4,400, based upon the TV show 4,400. That's our new goal. We're getting right there. I'm at 4,233, Jarvis. We're moving right along. Freeman, Ozzie, Dansby, Josh, Camargo. We'll see what happens to Camargo. They say he's day-to-day. He got hit. But what's everybody getting hit on the shins and knees of late? You see that? You know, Yelich broke his knee. Shin tonight for Camargo. He got helped off the field. He's day-to-day as of right now. Riley Acuna, Ender, Markakis, Joyce, Culberson, Hamilton, Hechavarria. That's the rest of my hitters. My pitching staff, ready? Keuchel, Soroka, Fried, Folty, Melanson, Green, Martin, good old Luke Jackson, Newcomb, and Blevins. That gives you two relievers in the bullpen. The guy missing is Julio Teheran. And it's mostly because, thank you, Greg Roth, as Greg Roth jumps on. We're getting there, Jarvis. We're getting there little by little. Keep pumping them out. I still think that third, fourth spot of that rotation is in flux. And I will tell you that in a playoff series of five games, you don't need to carry more than four starters. Okay? You want to go with your regular bullpen at that point. You get the seven-game series. Now we're talking about five starters out there. So I'm going with a little bit deeper bullpen, just Keuchel, Soroka, Fried, Folty. I'm not going to push Julio Teheran on there and out of the pen if I'm not starting him. I'm probably right now, I'm probably going Soroka, Keuchel, Fried, Fulte as my four in that in a five-game playoff series with Soroka coming back for game five as of right now. U-Dub, Jarvis. U-Dub just followed us, so here we go. We're rolling right along. Are we up to 4-2? Yeah, 4-2-3-5. Okay.
So we roll along here from the Kia Studios. Where we stand on the Braves playoff roster.
So for right now in this series, I'm thinking you carry four starters, keep your bullpen deep, 10 pitchers in this shorter series, okay? So keep your 10 pitchers on there. Maybe they go with 11 pitchers. You know, maybe one of those, maybe Echevarria doesn't, or Echevarria, whatever his name is, doesn't make it. Hamilton, I think, makes it, Jarvis, because you want that speed off the bench. If nothing else, he can pinch run for you. You know, you can put him in, and if you need a steal or you're the game-tying run and he's on second with two outs, he can score on a single. You know what I mean? So his speed maybe makes him more valuable to have. I'm probably not pinch hitting him. He's probably literally just going to pinch run. That's all he'll do. Because I got enough outfielders with Ender and Culberson and Riley and Acuna Marquez back now and everybody like that. I think I've got enough outfielders now at this point. I don't need him for defense. I need him for speed. And he's the best speed guy that you got. So if you keep only 10 pitchers, Echevarria probably stays on the roster. If you don't, my guess is he's the odd man out. I'm going to be curious to see if they carry four starters for this first round of the playoffs or not, if they carry five starters or four starters, and try to use one of those guys out of the bullpen. Me, I'd carry four starters and just use my bullpen like normal in a series like this. Seven-game series in the next round, okay, I'm probably a little bit more experimentative. Probably getting a little bit more experimentative with everything. I'm probably willing to do some different things at that point out of all of it. So, I go back to Tyler Flowers. I can't trust Tyler Flowers. I can't trust him to. There's my kicker for Houston missing a field goal. By the way, I didn't realize he missed a field goal. No wonder I didn't score any fantasy points with him. Lordy. Anyway, I just don't trust Tyler Flowers behind the plate right now. I know he had the home run tonight and all that kind of stuff, and that's nice. I appreciate all that, but that was an extra point that he missed and he got a retry or something. I just don't trust Tyler Flowers behind the plate. You can't afford to have a guy that just can't catch it at times in a playoff series. It'll kill you. Those little mental mistakes, man, in playoff baseball, man, that's a run and that's a difference in you win or you lose in the playoffs. All right, going to wrap things up. Love TKO, baby. Get that done and hand it off to Dwayne Walker. It's all next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 910 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.